Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
We're going to jump right in. As you notice, Pastor Barry is not here this morning. He is in Haiti, so we ask that you be praying for him. He's with Convoy of Hope. This was actually a trip he was supposed to take a few weeks ago, and because of the hurricanes that were moving through the area, that trip was postponed. And it fits in so well with what we talked about last week, as far at the end of service with the kingdom that we try to honor here at St. Charles River Church. We don't want to just confine ourselves to what takes place here within these four walls. It's doing God's work out there. And we were able to do that by being able to allow Pastor Barry to go and serve with Convoy of Hope. I also thank you all for your flexibility. So I listen to, I don't know if we have any 101.1 fans out there, but I listen to Bernie Miklas in the morning, and I'm sure Tony probably does. If you listen to Bernie gets on rants sometimes, and he kind of blows his segment. He says, "I just blew my show clock." Our show clock has been blown today, okay? So I just ask for your grace and flexibility. But first, I thank you so much for the grace, because we kind of got a late start because of what was taking place at Joy. And if you're not aware, this was Pastor Day's first Sunday back after the passing of Kathy. So we expected them to have, you know, something a little bit more taking place. As a matter of fact, when we pulled up, though, I told Carmen, I saw the car, they go, "I know these people aren't here to hear me speak." But and I was right. But we do honor what was taking place with them, and I know that they just wanted to come and love on Pastor Dave, and I thank you so much for your flexibility in allowing that to happen. So as they say, though, if you're on a flight and you're depart from the gate late, and the pilot comes over and says, "We'll see if we can make up some time in the air." So we'll see if we can make up some time in the air today. But we are going to continue with the series that we started a couple weeks ago, the God Help Me series. And the message today is, God help me with forgiveness. And what we're going to look at today is the story of Joseph. Because what took place in the life of Joseph was just an absolute perfect picture of what forgiveness is all about. But in order to understand that, we got to kind of go back a little bit into Joseph's story. I'll tell you what, I've been reading through, going back and reading through Genesis and Exodus and things in the Old Testament. And, you know, you could go into a bookstore and there could be sections and shelves and different genres of different types of stories. Or you could just read the Old Testament and capture it all right there. I mean, there's human interest. There's little sibling rivalry. There's battles, there's romance. If you want to really get folks fired up, do a study on the Song of Solomon, and that'll really get people revved up. I've been there. But there's just so much that is within the Old Testament that we can learn from, and part of that is the story of Joseph. And of course, sometimes when you have a big story, you got to look at a smaller story within that. And as we all know, that Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. I know we're not supposed to have favorites, but he was it. But the reason that he was Jacob's favorite son has to do with what took place earlier in Jacob's life. When Jacob was looking for a bride, and he found Rachel, and that he knew that was the person he wanted to be married to. And he went to her dad, Laban, and he said, "I want Rachel as my wife." And Laban said, "Great, give me 7 years of service, and she's yours." Joseph did the 7 years of service, but then Laban pulled the old bait and switch, and he had Leah instead, and gave him Leah as Jacob's bride. So when Jacob questioned him about that, he said, "Well, she is my oldest, and I really have to get her married first. So you give me 7 more years, then you can have Rachel." And he did. I mean, Jacob loved Rachel so much that he gave 7 more years. Now, he didn't have to wait 7 years until Rachel became his bride. She became his bride shortly after. But he fulfilled his commitment and gave Laban 7 more years, and Rachel was his wife. But God looked, really go back in Genesis 30 and go to the end of the chapter, you'll see so much of this with what takes place with Jacob and then with Joseph. So when Jacob was married to Leah and to Rachel, God looked down and he saw that Leah was not loved. So when he started blessing the family with children, Leah was the one that was giving the children, not Rachel. And then, because that was not working out well, Rachel gave her servants over to Jacob. So there were some children born there, and then Leah gave her servants. So bottom line was, Jacob had 10 sons, 1 daughter, but none through Rachel. Well, then finally, Rachel blessed him with a son, and it was Joseph. And that was why Jacob just loved him so much, because he finally got a son from the wife that he loved. But that caused a little jealousy among the brothers. And we all know the story of Joseph and the coat that Jacob gave him. And we also know that that Joseph had some dreams. And he shared those with his brother. And the dreams were indicating that the family, the brothers, and the whole family were going to bow down and worship him. So as you can imagine, this didn't go over too well. And the brothers, the bitterness in them just grew and grew. So one day, Jacob sent Joseph out into the field to check on the brothers. They were out there with their flocks. And the brothers saw him, and they decided they'd had enough. They'd had enough of Joseph's bragging and of him getting all the special favors. And they applied to kill him. Well, then one of the brothers thought that was a little harsh. So he goes, let's go just throw him into a pit. Where he really, what he was thinking was, I'll come back and get him later. So they agreed. They were going to throw him in a pit and leave him to die. So the first passage of scripture I'm going to look at is in Genesis 37, verse 23. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing. Then they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. So here they are. All right, here he comes. We're going to throw him in this pit and be done with him. Now, you would think that even though they had a lot of bitterness and hatred towards Joseph, this is their blood, this is their brother, you would think there would be a little bit of remorse still, wouldn't you? And the next verse is something that I've probably read over hundreds of times, never really gave it much thought. But the next verse says, then, just as they were sitting down to eat, that hit me. They're having lunch. They threw their brother into a pit to die, and then they're going to have lunch. Like, how can anybody with any kind of a consciousness do that? But then they were sitting down to eat. They looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. It was a group of Ishmaelite traders taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic resin from Gilead down to Egypt. Judas said to his brothers, "What will we gain by killing our brother? We'd have to cover up the crime. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to these Ishmaelite traders. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." Now, I don't know that makes it okay, you know. He's my flesh and blood, so it's no problem selling him to other people. And his brothers agreed. So they decided not to kill him. They decided not to leave him to die. But they decided to make a profit. They decided to sell him. Now, what was interesting back there is they said, Judas said, we'd have to cover up the crime. Well, they got to cover it up anyway, because Joseph's not going home with them. And they did. They had to go back and tell Jacob. They had to tell him a story. They had to go back and tell him that Joseph was killed. So they sell Joseph. And then Joseph gets sold again to Potiphar, who was a captain of the guard of Pharaoh. Now, Potiphar did recognize something in Joseph. The work ethic that Joseph showed, and he also saw that God's hand was on him. And so he promoted him up into the head of his household. Joseph was put in charge of everything in Potiphar's household. Now, Potiphar's wife also recognized Joseph, but she saw something a little different. She saw this young, good-looking man. And so she was making advances at him. Joseph, being a man of integrity and a man of honor, rejected those. Potiphar's wife didn't take too kindly to that. So an opportunity arose to where she could level a false accusation against him, and he was put in prison. So while he's in prison, he meets up with a couple people out of Pharaoh's court. There's a cupbearer and a baker. And they have some dreams, so they come to Joseph with these dreams. And Joseph's able to interpret the dreams. One was a favorable interpretation, one not so much. So the one with the favorable interpretation, the baker, he goes, he's released, he's restored back to his position. And as he leaves the prison, he tells Joseph, "Oh man, I appreciate that, what you did for me. I will remember you." And then he leaves prison and promptly forgets him for 2 years. Until Pharaoh starts having dreams. And then all of a sudden he's like, "Oh, wait a minute. Because nobody in Pharaoh's court could figure out what these dreams are saying. Because I know a guy. I know a guy who can tell you what these dreams mean." So Pharaoh calls for Joseph. Joseph comes up and Pharaoh says, "I hear you can interpret my dreams." Now what I love about this is, and then again, I want to encourage you, because you're getting the paraphrase. We can't read 14 chapters of Scripture from 37 through 50, but I would encourage you to go back and read that in Genesis. But what I love is how Joseph says, God is the one that can interpret. Joseph's not taking credit for the interpretations. He had said, God is the one that can interpret these dreams for you. So anyway, so Pharaoh shares the dreams. Joseph listens, and then he goes, "Okay, so here's what we got. We're going to have 7 years of plenty. Crops are going to be plentiful. Everything is going to be great. And then you're going to have 7 years of famine, where things are not going to be well at all. So what you need to do is when we had those years of plenty, we need to store up." That's so hard for us today, isn't it? Things are going good. I know, Carl, you probably see it all the time. People thinking they're doing well financially, and you know, the more you make, the more you spend, right? Instead of putting something aside. We need to put something aside so that when the bad times come, we're still able to provide for our people. Pharaoh thought this was a great idea. He thought, "Well, Joseph, you're the one that's seeing this. I think you're the one that needs to lead it." And so he puts Joseph in charge. Joseph rises up to where he's Pharaoh's right-hand man. At age 17, he is sold by his brothers into slavery. At age 30, now he is Pharaoh's right-hand man. So Jacob and his brothers, we had the 7 years of plenty, but Joseph's making sure things are put aside. So when the famine comes, Jacob and Joseph's brothers are feeling the effects of the famine. And Jacob says, "Hey, they have grain down there in Egypt. Go down, get grain." So he sends the sons along. So who do they got to go to for the grain? Joseph. So let's flip over to Genesis 45. I'm sorry, wait, we're not going to get there just yet. Just 1 second. So first, I'm sorry, I apologize. So I was trying to cut too much out.
Yeah.
We can't do that, otherwise we lose what's going on here. So the brothers go, and they go before Joseph, and they bow down before him, just as Joseph saw in his dreams. But he doesn't brag about it. He doesn't reveal himself at that time either. The brothers make the request for the grain. Joseph puts them through some testing. See, he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. They don't know what's taking place right now. Because remember, he was 17 when they sold him. At this time, he was 30 when he was put in charge. They had the years of famine, or the years of plenty. Now they have the famine. So Joseph's probably 37, 38 years old by now. A lot happens to a person physically over that time. You know, several years ago, I ran into a friend of mine at a River City Rascals baseball game, and her parents were with her, people I'd known for years as a youth. So I walked up, and I said hi to them. He said, hey, how you guys doing? And they're looking at me like, who are you? And my friend goes, Mom, Dad, this is Mike. Oh, yes. Okay, yes. And the mom said, well, you've grown. Yes, I had filled my body frame out a little bit. I was not the 155, 160-pound young man they knew from before. Quite a bit north of that. So the brothers did not recognize Joseph. So he puts him through some testing. And it's not because he's angry at them. He's checking their heart, and he's also trying to find out about his family. Because after Joseph was born, there was another brother born, Benjamin. And Joseph wanted to make sure that he was curious about him, wanted to find out about Benjamin. So he sells them the grain. He actually, if you go back and read the story, he basically literally gives them the grain because he has the money put back into their grain sacks and sends them on their way. But he keeps one brother, and he says, next time you come back, you need to bring Benjamin with you. Because he wanted to make sure the family was whole and it all was well. So they go away, leaving one brother behind. And a little while later, they need more grain. So Jacob goes to send them again. They say, well, if we go, we got to take Benjamin with us. Well, Jacob had already lost Joseph, and he did not want anything to happen to Benjamin. But he said, that's the only way we're going to get it, is we got to take Benjamin with us. So they do. They take Benjamin with them, and they go back to get grain. And as Joseph meets up with them, now we're ready for Genesis 45. Verse 1. Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, out, all of you. So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him, and the word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing in front of them. Please, come closer, he said to them, though you can imagine how this would make them be a little apprehensive, right? So they came closer, and he said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. And this is something that's really important, and we're going to watch a video in a little bit. And we're going to see just how important that statement is, telling them not to be beating themselves up for what had happened. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. It was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace and the governor of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and tell him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me master over all the land of Egypt, so come down to me immediately. You can live in the region of Goshen where you can be near me with all your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, everything you own. I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, your household and all your animals will starve. Then Joseph added, look, you can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin. I really am Joseph. Go tell my father of my honored position here in Egypt. Describe for him everything you have seen, and then bring my father here quickly. Weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin, and Benjamin did the same. Then Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them, and after they began talking freely with him. Now, one thing that's really important to notice here is at no point during this meeting did the brothers ask for forgiveness. But Joseph offered it up. He hugged them. He kissed them. He was so excited to see them. He was screaming with joy. This does not sound like the man who's holding revenge in his heart. He saw God's hand in what was taking place. And he did. He forgave his brothers without them asking. And then he told them, go get Dad. Get everybody. Get your families. Bring them up here. Let's all be together once more. And so they did. The brothers left. They went. They got Jacob. They got their families. They came and they stayed with Joseph. Pharaoh was excited to hear about this. He helped set up, you know, places for them to live. And they were one family once again. However, after a period of time, Jacob died. So the brothers started to worry again. Okay, Joseph's been real good to us, but now Dad's gone. What's it going to be like now? This may be the time where he takes his revenge on us. But in Genesis chapter 15, verse 14, after burying Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. Now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him, they said. So they sent this message to Joseph. Before your father died, he had instructed us to say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin. Now they're coming and asking for forgiveness because they're worried. They said, well, let's make sure we're still good here. Now they're coming and they're asking for forgiveness. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me. Reinforcing that message again. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. The forgiveness was still there. It wasn't a conditional thing. It wasn't, okay, I'm going to do it now, but he was holding on to it. The forgiveness remained. I'm going to show you a video, and it's a little longer than the video we would normally show, but it has such a powerful message. I've shared with you in the past how, if any of you are fans of Matthew West, how several years ago he had started where he would have listeners, fans of his, would send in stories of things that had taken place in their life. And as God would lead him, he would write a song about that story. So one of them is a song I know that you all know very well. It's called Forgiveness. But what we don't know is if maybe we don't know the story behind it. So this video I'm going to show has some of the backstory. Renee and Eric, the people that were involved in what had taken place here. The story that Renee shares of the forgiveness that she needed to offer someone. And then he took that and he made a song out of it. And as we always encourage you that as God is leading you in any part of this of a service, everything, Pastor Barry just said this last week, everything we do here is worship. So as you're watching this video, and if you're called to worship, I would encourage you to do so. So what we're going to have is the video is going to have the story, and then it's going to have the song behind it. And I know that this will not come across on the podcast, but I would encourage you to, if you're listening to this on a podcast, that you would just go to Google and Google Matthew West forgiveness backstory and get what really took place, what really led to this song that God had gave him. So if you could go ahead and play that, Teresa. If you, yeah, definitely. If you note the one thing that Renee did there, not only did she go and forgive Eric, she didn't pour it back into his life. What could she do for him? With her and her family going to that judge and asking for his sentence to be reduced. Just as Joseph was You know, not only was he forgiving his brothers, he was put in place to give them grain, to give them food, so they could sustain life. Renee did the same thing there with Eric. And, you know, then she said, just as, again, as Joseph told his brothers, don't beat yourself up, she was the one, she was feeling the prisoner because she was holding on to that. She was holding on to that bitterness, and that needed to be released. And I can tell you that's real because I've been there myself where I've held on to bitterness. And it wasn't until I freely turned that over that I was really able to experience some joy in different areas of my life. So as we get ready to close out, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for the forgiveness that you showed us in the sins that we've committed against you by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, as we observed in communion today. And even as Jesus himself said as he was hanging there, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That forgiveness is freely offered to us. And all we have to do is just go and ask you for it. And for those today, Lord, who may be holding on to something, a grudge, a hurt. Pastor Carl talked about this several weeks ago, offenses against them. I hope today that they've seen through the story of Joseph and through the video we watched of Renee and Eric, to just free themselves of that, release that burden, turn it over to you, and to provide forgiveness to those that they feel have wronged them. Just thank you so much for just making that available to us. And we praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.